Good evening. Are these on? By the way, Manny? These are on? Okay. I'd like to call the Bartlett Public Library District meeting to order. It is 7 o'clock. Roll call.
Boyer, absent. Sias?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Carl here. Olson?
Here.
Deany?
Here.
Hopkins?
Here. Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall? State your name.
Marianne Kingsman. Carolyn had asked what I thought after the March 6th board meeting, so this is me sharing my thoughts. As a resident of Bartlett for 27 years and an employee of the Bartlett Library for almost 9 years, I was shocked when I listened to the recording for the director's evaluation. According to the audio recording, the board requested the hiring of a deputy director. The board asked that this new position have HR management experience and business experience. Director Wessel instantly gave her recommendations on what responsibilities she thought this new position should hold. Her thoughts were that this position would oversee HR tech, IT, the internal aspects, and the foundation, while she would oversee marketing, maintenance, finance, and outreach. It is apparent that this idea wasn't that of the board's, even though it has been presented that way to staff. The library already has an employee that has been acting as deputy director. This person might not hold that specific title, but have assumed for several years the responsibilities of deputy director. If director responsibilities are taken away from Director Wessel, is the board going to reevaluate her salary? If not, it is of my opinion that the hiring of a deputy director would be fiscally responsible. Also at this meeting, 5 out of the 6 present board members granted Director Wessel 10 additional personal days. This is on top of 25 vacation days, 12 sick days, and 4 personal days that were already issued. Trustee Olson expressed concern that if this exception or privilege is given to Director Wessel, it will go against policy that the library has established. It could open the library up to discrimination. Despite what Trustee Barry thinks, the library does have employees in protected classes. Policy states that all vacation and personal time must be used before an employee may apply for an unpaid general leave of absence. This is what should have happened, not grant more time. This is not consistent with that, with what has occurred in the past. We've had several employees run out of paid time off. Employees had to either have time deducted from new balances that are issued at the start of a fiscal year, or employees had to go with unpaid time when they exhausted it all. Trustee Deany defends this decision by saying, "I see the director above staff, a director, not just staff." This isn't the first time Trustee Deany made such a comment. Last year, she voiced the same opinion, and she voted yes on giving Director Wessel an increase of pay above the pay cap, saying that, "I don't look at you as just staff. I don't see Carolyn as just staff." The library holds no policy that considers the director different than any other employee. We are all employees of the Bartlett Public Library District, paid by taxpayers' money. I feel that I have the responsibility on behalf of myself and on behalf of the staff to speak up, because staff are afraid of retaliation from Carolyn and the board if they say anything.
Is there any other town hall?
Good evening, Madam President. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Eric Shipman. I am a resident of Bartlett for 29 and a half years now. A happy library card holder throughout that, as you well know, a library trustee for a couple of years. I want to recognize tonight you and your service, because that's what this night is kind of about. I recognize the board has some very important business, and I'm sure you'll get to that. But I think it's important that we take a moment to celebrate your achievements and what you've done. Some of you may or may not know that Heidi and I actually ran for office at the same time. Now, she did things the smart way. She ran unopposed. I had a little bit of a race to win, and I ended up on the village board, and of course Heidi landed here where she has served all of us taxpaying residents just honorably and really in a wonderful way for 12 years. I want to commend you for that and say thank you for that. I also want to say that Heidi may not remember this, but conversations we had as very young, novice elected officials where she was good enough to give me some pretty solid advice and like, you know, run unopposed, things like that. She also said, make sure to hire good staff and listen to what they have to say. They're the ones who are going to run the place. And be fiscally conservative. Be smart and do what's best for the residents. Do what's best for the people that are your bosses, which is the taxpayers. One of the things that I used to say is I just have control of the checkbook, but it's not my checkbook. And so I think Heidi has demonstrated that over 12 years. I've seen the library grow quite a bit over those 10 years, both in services and things that they bring to the community. So thank you for those 12 years. I wish you were staying for a few more. Maybe we'll talk you into coming back in sometime like you kind of dragged me back. But thank you very much. I hope things work out well for you in the future and for all of the board. Congratulations on anyone who's reelected. And just thanks for all your work.
Thank you. Any other town hall? Okay. We will move on to consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes to remove?
If you could remove 1B, please.
Okay. Remove item 1B. Any others? I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda minus item 1B.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Berry. Second. Thank you, Trustee Olson. Roll call.
Okay. Sias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer, absent.
Okay. Item 1B, Trustee Lucaro.
Right. On page 3, kind of middle of the page, there was a dollar amount, and it should be $150,000, and I think it was just $15,000. It was a typo.
I'm sorry, what section?
On page 3.
Oh, here.
And about partway through. You finding it there?
Yeah. Got it.
I got it. Thank you. Everything else was fine.
Any other changes to item 1B? Entertain a motion to approve item 1B as amended.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Buparo. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Daney. Any discussion? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Buparo, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer, absent.
Okay, any correspondence?
None.
Reports, questions, and answers. Does anyone have anything? Trustee Olson.
I have a number of comments that I'd like to make. I'd like to start by saying that this might be getting a little old, but I was pleased to see that we had 96 more net cardholders in March. I find that encouraging. But we can't lose sight of the fact that it also means that 70 people chose not to renew their library cards. Probable causes are not finding any value in the library, moving out of the district, or death. The question should be asked, we should be asking people, is why aren't they renewing their library cards? Is it because they find nothing of value in the library? No access to technology and materials aren't meeting their needs? Inability to make into the library physically? No longer have kids at home and don't read anymore? Or no programs of interest? I know that many of the board don't think this is important. Given that we don't have any statistics which truly measure interest in the library, this is a form of measurement. The second thing that I want to comment on is I was pleased to see that we've had a increase in the number of Wi-Fi sessions in the library, 992 in the month of March, which was double any period in the first half of the current fiscal year. We have seen a strong upward trend beginning in January. Wondering, do we know why this is occurring? Have we done anything to make people more aware of this availability? Third item, in reviewing the facility manager's report, I noted two things that I would like to have further information on. First of all, there was a comment about researching bicycle stations along the new bike path, and I'd like to know where that might be. And I'm not opposed to the idea, but I want to make sure that if we do something like that, that it's properly identified as being provided by the library. And the second thing that I noticed was that there's investigation going on of alternative HVAC companies for proposed maintenance. I know that we currently are working with Core Mechanical when we signed a contract with them, and I believe it was a 3-year contract. We went through quite a bit of evaluation of different contractors because we had had problems with our predecessor contractor. And so I hope that we don't just lightly address this as a concern and award it without appropriate investigation and bidding. The fourth thing that I wanted to mention is that in looking through the youth services report, I noticed that Liesl Metz, who's our new outreach librarian, who I've had the opportunity to meet. If you haven't met her, please take the time. She's a very pleasant, capable young woman. But I'm wondering, one of the things that I think we lost here at the library was contact in schools. I know that in the recent years since the pandemic, we have been doing some outreach with child care centers, but not in the elementary schools, and want to know if this is something we're planning on trying to get back into the schools again. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything? Okay. Aiden, do you have an update for us?
Thank you, I do. So, to start things off, TAG, Teen Advisory Group, has been continuing as a monthly program in which teens are given the opportunity to earn volunteer hours in addition to seasonal volunteer sessions. This month, teens participated in making motivational cards for the Cards for Kids organization, Best Cards with the Sea, which hand delivers homemade cards to hospitalized children. So we just did that last week. It was just a really good feeling of just working together to create these cards for these kids that are in hospitals right now. Several attendees have been participation to TAG on a regular basis. Next, game night and create chat are additionally being held for 1 hour a month in the library's teen space. Though only one teen attendee was present for each of these of this past month's programs, which is me, teen librarian Anesthesia has been developing new art for the teen space in hopes of reaching more teens, as the teen space is used frequently for studying. And then several new one-time teen programs have been scheduled, including an instructional video game session and several craft-related events, a few of which have happened already. And then finally, Anesthesia is planning to visit public high schools in the fall, kind of like you mentioned a little bit with elementary schools. Trustee Olson, she's going to attempt to draw teens into the library and teen program by promoting library cards. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, now we have our action items. So the internal lighting project bid proposal.
Yep, so I'd like to invite Mr. Shales to come up and review the bids that we received last week.
Yeah, so we had 8 bids come in, which is better than we expected at that point. So that's a great turnout to get that many bids. The bids did vary quite a bit from the low bidder at $53,000 up to the highest bidder at just under $400,000. So there's a big variation there, but the there is a good grouping of bids at about that $100,000 level, just over $100,000. We did do a thorough review of the low bidder, Twin Supplies, and a review of the second place bidder, Prospect Electric, at that point. Twin Supplies, we called the references, their insurance agent, their bank reference, their bond reference, 3 other public clients, the Bartlett Park District, School District U46, Palatine Library, and then a supplier reference that they provided to that actually was a supplier for the Philips products that we had specified. We've talked about that in previous board meetings. So reviewing all of their references, we find no concerns whatsoever. Actually, the clients, the Park District, School District U46, and Palatine are very pleased with Twin Supplies, their service, their follow-up, their product, their installing teams. So really found no concerns whatsoever looking at their references at that point. We did have an hour-long review of their bid online. Carolyn and Larry, the design engineer, and myself all listened in on that, asked questions, went through their scope of work. We believe they do have the correct scope of work for the bid documents at that point. I cannot explain why they're so low, to be quite honest, but it's not the library's responsibility to make sure that a company makes money. It's the library's responsibility to make sure they're paying prevailing wage and that they complete the work that they're hired to do at that point. So not finding any concerns, we did actually consult with the library's attorney, Roger Ritzman, as well, had a conversation with him, went through all those details, and find no reason to not award the contract to Twin Supplies and save the library a ton of money. Any questions?
I'd like to move to a bid to approve the bid from Twin Supplies in the amount of $53,684.60.
There is a motion on the table from Trustee Olson. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Trustee Gary. Discussion.
Now, you mentioned something about they may be getting some sort of comment.
Yes, that was a part of the bid. All the contractors that are bidding on that were supposed to determine what they could get from ComEd. That is a part of why this company is low, but not the full amount low. So they did get the biggest amount from ComEd of about $28,000 of incentive at that point. I think the second place bidder, I was able to get $21,000 at that point. But again, you know, the low bidder is about $50,000 lower than second place. So, you know, the $8,000 difference there is a part of it, but the rest of it is unexplainable. You know, I couldn't explain it. Let me put it that way. So.
Mm-hmm. Should it come in that it does cost more? Do they eat the costs? And we're set with the $58,000?
Unless there's a change in scope of work. Like if the library requested you know, something different than what we've talked about in then they would be owed a change order at that point. But for the scope of work that we've got bid out, they have to hold that price. And we made that very clear with regard to their scope review. And we went through the scope of work in detail in that online meeting, both the drawings and the written documents. So we feel comfortable that they're saying all the right things at this point in time. They will have to provide a performance and payment bond as well. So that if for some reason they default or something along those lines, that would be the library's course of action at that point would be to go after that bond if they're not non-performing contractor. I have no reason to believe that that will be the case. Their owner references are better than I expected, to be quite honest. So.
Thank you. Trustees.
I have a general question, and it pertains to the project as a whole. At the time that we had your firm do our facility needs assessment. We came up with a figure, I think, somewhere around $400,000 over the course of 2 years. And for my own clarification, what portion, the lighting is what portion of that electrical work? Because I know at our special meeting on the 6th, I asked that question in terms of what you thought the bids would come in at, and I recall you saying about 150.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that we still have another 250,000 in work that we should anticipate? Or does it mean that we've changed what your original thinking was in terms of the scope? The only reason I'm asking the question is, are we going to be looking for further funding at a point for electrical-related lighting work? Or is this a solid bid proposals or the bid specs, solid consideration of where we need to be for a number of years?
Yeah, so the facility report that we did anticipated replacing all fixtures throughout the building, which would require new controls as well. So that would have been the cost, especially all your linear light fixtures, which are upstairs and in the far end of this this level at that point. It's quite expensive to do that. So we decided that going down this process, hey, let's look to just to rebulb and put drivers in and put replacement kits in, which also saves on the control side of things, that most libraries or public buildings don't really care for the controls because you have lights turning off and then you don't want them to and whatnot. So that was the full bore if you changed out every light fixture. The project that we've got bid out right now is actually using a lot more just bulbs and drivers to replace the guts of these existing fixtures. But you're replacing all the main parts of it. There are no real functional parts other than the metal casing that's here that's going to be retained. So, yeah, this is a great long-term solution at a really great price at that point. There's not going to be anything additional that you're going to have to do in a few years to make up that difference. So that is a one-for-one replacement.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Discussion? Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Bucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Damey?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
Okay.
Thank you, John. I'll be in touch tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, resolution. So I have a resolution here that I would like to read in honor of President Hopkins. Bartlett Public Library District Library Board Resolution. Commendation of Heidi Hopkins for her service as a Bartlett Public Library District Trustee. Whereas Heidi Hopkins was elected as a library trustee in May of 2011 and was reelected in 2017 to 6-year terms and serving a total of 12 years. Whereas during her terms of office, she served the library and whenever called upon and in a variety of ways. And whereas she was always a proponent of the use of technology and automation to improve library functions and enhance services to the public, including the enhancement of the automated interlibrary loan system, the library's webpage, and access to online databases. And whereas during her tenure on the board, she served as secretary and served multiple tenures as treasurer and as president and vice president, giving wise advice and guidance to the board and the library. And whereas during her tenure on the board, she served on numerous committees and specialized in leading the finance committee for several years as treasurer, where she increasingly confronted budgetary squeezes. Whereas she helped guide the library through a major renovation in 2015. Whereas she continued to lead the library through a major pandemic that changed the scope of how traditional libraries work and encouraged us to be one of the first libraries to reopen to serve our residents. Whereas she represented the library at community events such as National Night Out and at various Foundation and Friends events. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Library Trustees
hereby publicly commends and thanks Heidi Hopkins on behalf of the residents of the Bartlett Public Library District and library users everywhere for her exemplary dedication and service to all.
Madam President, I'll make a motion to adopt that resolution as read.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Trustee Picaro. Is there discussion?
I just want to say thank you for the last, we've served on this board for 10 years together. I really appreciate the insights you've been able to provide, the support that you've been able to provide me in the library in those 10 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Roll call. Zayas?
Yes. Yes.
Barrick?
Yes.
Picaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent. I'm sure she'd be a yes if she
oh,
was.
Oh, I should abstain.
Okay. Did you want to take a break and adjourn or take a time out or just continue
on? That's fine.
Take a break? Whatever, sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Motion to break or reconvene or
convene? I'll entertain a motion to break so everybody can have some of that lovely cake over there.
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Thank you, Trustee Picaro. discussion on that. Okay. Roll call.
Okay. Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Picaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent. We'll have to save her a piece of cake. We'll take a break.
Are re-adjourned. Back in session. Back in session. At 7:40. Our next item is appoint residents to decennial committee. Yes, so I'm very excited to bring to your attention two residents who I think will be an excellent addition to our decennial committee. One is Stephanie Hopkins. She was recommended to me and to the board by President Hopkins. She is a very avid user of the library. She has suggested a variety of different programs that we followed up on, and we've had some good conversations about collection development. So I think she's got a keen understanding of library services, and I think she'll be a great addition to the committee. And then everyone knows Aiden, who is our teen representative and also very involved in our library friends group. He brings a wealth of knowledge to the committee as well, having been an avid library user since birth. And his major passion, I believe, and one of his career goals is to become a librarian. So I thought this would be a good fit. So I'd like at this point for the board to consider appointing Stephanie Hopkins and Aiden Markhoff, am I pronouncing that right? Marhoffi, to the Decennial Committee on the Local Government Efficiency Act.
I will turn it over to John, who is the head of the committee, for the appointments.
I would make that motion to appoint Aiden and Stephanie to our committee.
I'll second that motion.
Is there any discussion?
If I may, I welcome you on behalf of our committee. I look forward to working with you. It's great to have people of different perspectives participating. Thank you.
Zayas?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Picaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer absent.
Great, welcome.
Yay. And then the next item is to set the date for the meeting of the decennial committee for the first meeting. And I think I might somehow abbreviate this title going forward. So, but John and I had discussed the second Tuesday in May, and then I confirmed with Stephanie and with Aiden that they would be able to make that, and so we would like to do the meeting on Monday, May 8th.
Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, you said Tuesday.
Did I?
I think we discussed a Monday.
Monday.
Just in the precursor, you said Tuesday. But
I'm sorry, Monday.
No, I think Monday is what we discussed, Monday the 8th?
And that would be at what time?
7 p.m.
That sounds good.
Trustee Olson?
Is this a meeting we'll be able, as trustees, to attend remotely if we have a health issue? I'm having cataract surgery that morning, so I'd like to attend that evening by phone.
I would have to call the I'd have to check our policy, and I don't see an issue with it offhand, but let me make sure.
You guys just have to vote on it.
I think, yeah, we would vote on it.
Yeah.
But not Zoom, because we don't, we just phone?
Just phone. You just said phone.
Yeah.
Phone. Okay. Yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah.
And can any other people that may be interested in coming or being part of that committee, can they also attend?
Yeah. You have to behave.
The minimum that have to serve on the committee is 2 residents, but we would absolutely welcome more.
Do we run an issue if there's more board members that it's all have to be posted?
It has to be posted as an open meeting.
Okay.
Because all of the all of the board members are committee members.
So what do you plan on posting it anyway?
A motion and second for May 8th at 7 p.m. for the, I'm going to call it the DCLEA.
Another acronym in the world.
I'll make the motion that we have it on Monday the 8th at 7 p.m.
Second. Trustee Esaias, Trustee Berry. Further discussion? Roll call.
Esaias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Carl, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Daney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer, absent.
Budget draft.
So I sent out in the packets a very in-depth description of each line item and then the actual budget itself with explanations of what each column is. I don't know if you, in years past, I've gone through each line item. If you would like me to do that again, I can. Or if you've had a chance to read through it, you can let me know of some of your questions that you have. I'm open to any way. President Hopkins, how would you like to proceed?
I think it would be sufficient just to ask questions if anybody has them instead of going line by line. So, if anybody has any questions? Trustee Olson?
I had an early chance to look at this and with Carolyn, and we made some minor adjustments at that time. Trustee Daney also was with us at the time. I did notice a couple of things, though, that are minor adjustments that I think we should seriously consider. And electrical, given the fact that we're going to have our lighting, I believe, probably completed by the beginning of our fiscal year, I think we should consider reducing our electric costs by 10%. I'm sure that we'll probably have a more substantial reduction than that, but I think it would be an acknowledgement of that change. I have a couple of more generalized questions that I'd like to pose, and to me, budgets are kind of a roadmap to where an organization is attempting to move, and one of the things that I don't see clearly outlined in the budget numbers or in the narrative, other than a non-specific $25,000 line item for things that might deal with the strategic plan. So I'm going to ask the question, what are we doing in the budget to fund, and what are we funding for new programs, new services, new ways of interfacing with our community that we service? I know that when I first started asking about budget and concerns about input from department managers, because one of them was going to be on leave during this period of time. I was hoping that we would, through the director, get feedback in terms of what changes, what things they wanted to see happen that would require funding.
This is the first draft, and so the next step would be to continue those conversations about the strategic plan and goals. And we just presented, I believe it was a month ago or 2 months ago, an update. So the next time that we meet to talk about the strategic plan, we would start those discussions.
Madam President?
Yes, sir.
First, regarding the, I would like to see, before we reduce our electric, some hard numbers come in, rather than just kind of like 10%, because I think in a month from now or 2 months from now, we might have a better idea what those numbers might be. And so at this time, I'm going to bring a motion to adapt, to approve budget draft number one, 2023 through 2024, knowing that this is a work in progress.
There's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Barry, Trustee Feeney. Any further discussion? Yes, sir.
I would like to propose a second version of the budget. At the time that Peggy Vaccaro, Carolyn, and myself met to talk about the tax levy, I asked the question about the every third year adjustment that we can anticipate historically getting from the counties as they do their truing up of tax collection and division between Cook and DuPage County. And the cost or the potential that Carolyn indicated had been identified by Jamie, who's our advisor on taxes, was a sum of $66,000. Not something necessarily that we're absolutely going to get, but I thought that we needed to have a form of the budget that included those dollars. It was Carolyn and Peggy's decision that wasn't necessary. I'm going to propose something for that $66,000 in the event that we in fact do get it. And it goes back to the idea of what are we planning on doing that's new and different. And I'd like to propose that money be spent for a makerspace. And I've come up with a budget would have roughly a $17,500 cost for three pieces of equipment, a part-time 20-hour-a-week staff to man that area, supply costs, and other costs, including furnishing, software, a computer to control, probably three devices, 3D printer, laser cutter, Cricut machine. And I have a cost of $66,000 for that.
Okay, so right now there's a motion on the floor and a second, and if we're in the discussion period, this is, again, the first draft of the budget, so your ideas sound interesting, and perhaps it's something that could be presented that when we're looking at the second draft of the budget, that it perhaps could fill in some lines for that.
But I would say that I wouldn't call the question on the motion before, because if he wishes to vote against it, I think my Robert was out of order. We have a motion on the floor. If we disagree with the motion, that's fine and good. But just as
I move to amend that motion by adding this, is what I did.
You don't say that. Please say that so we know where you're going.
So are you making a motion to amend?
I'm making a motion to amend the budget for the inclusion of $60,000 for Makerspace and the staffing related to that.
Is there a second?
You know, this is a add-on to what we're budgeting right now, and only would be available should we get the funding that we're anticipating.
When therein lies the problem also, because we're not guaranteed that $66,000.
Right.
So I don't know how we could amend it to put it into the budget if it's funds that are not there, they're not secured funds for us. I don't understand how we could throw money in there when we aren't guaranteed that money.
Okay, is there a second to this motion for amendment? Okay, hearing none, that motion fails. There's a motion currently on the table to approve the first draft of this budget as is. Roll call.
Sias?
Yes.
Beery?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
No.
Haney?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer, absent.
I think what you're proposing is very good, and maybe you can talk with Carolyn and go over it before just throwing it into the budget and present it for the second draft. But I love the idea.
Because I think a makerspace is something we should have some discussion on. And thank you for bringing it up, because I can think of, I have some questions about it.
We're one of over 50% of the libraries in this country now have makerspace.
Nobody's saying no, Joe. We just want more information on it.
I know all that, Joe. But I want information. I don't want things happening brought to me. Let's vote on this right now. This is important. I know many libraries have this. We haven't. In the past, we haven't, because one of the problems is space. Where are we going to put it? I think we need to work our way through it.
To have a healthy discussion.
Right. So I'm not against the idea, I just want discussion on it.
And that leads us to discussion items. Trustee training, recap.
So one of the items, or the trustee training was on April 1st, I believe, 2023. I know that Trustee Olson was there, Trustee Vaccaro was there, and Trustee Daney was there. I attended as well, and the two key things that I took away from were related to the special funds and making sure that you address your balances in those funds. Trustee Olson and I had a discussion about that. That's how we led to leave the extension funds where they are at now, so that we could have a discussion about it. Did anyone else have anything to add about the trustee training before we go to the second discussion item?
I thought Kelly Zabinski did a really great job of explaining everything, all the different financial issues. I think one thing that stood out, she said, people need to be valued, and I think our greatest asset is our staff members, and they should be valued every day, our appreciation. Anybody else?
Okay. A reserve balance policy for committed funds.
I would like to suggest, and this is just discussion only at this point, but I'd like to discuss the idea of us setting a reserve balance for each of our other funds, other than our corporate fund, that would limit the amount that we would accumulate in those funds. You know, one of the things that we've tried to do over the last few years is balance the amounts so that we're not accumulating excessive amounts, and so that we can, or we have discretion, and we reach a limit where we're above what we really truly need, can then move those funds to the corporate fund so that we can have more funds available for our operating needs, for new programming, etc. Right now we have a policy for a reserve that talks to a 50% of our annual operating budget, up to 50%. I would like to suggest that we consider adopting a 25% limit for these funds. Right now, as an example, we have in our audit fund about the equivalent of 2 years' costs for contracted audit, and we have now pretty much fixed costs for 5 years, knowing what that cost is going to be. There really isn't a reason that the director, with the concurrence or discussion with the treasurer, whoever that might be, shouldn't be able to set tax levies with guidance through policy, which will result in us maintaining those levels and making sure that we have all the funds available for our operating funds that we don't need in our reserves.
So you're proposing lowering the percentage in our current
policy, so
we don't overfund the committed funds?
Yes. So, you know, I'd like to consider coming back to the May meeting or June at the latest and amending our fund balance policies to reflect that current year through taxation and a reserve of the equivalent of 25% excess and maintaining it at that. Right now, and in part because of my thinking at the time before we went to this seminar, we're going to continue for another year having more than we need, far more than we need in the IMRF fund. And I think right now we're going to end up with a balance that's about 1 year the equivalent of 100% of not only the current year's need, but the following year as well.
I would be hesitant to keep that one at 25%, though, because the staff fluctuates so much, and you may add new positions, or the rate may skyrocket. So I would maybe think with the IMRF that you might consider a higher fund balance ratio.
I think it's a fair point to review what we need. You know, we're overfunding the committed funds. We can always put in, but we can't take out. So we need to lower that percentage.
I think in the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen the contribution rate fluctuate from about 12 to a little over 15% of our payroll, which is about a 25% variance. I don't know any history beyond the last 4 years or so, but you know, payroll is has been pretty flat the last few years because we've had retirement of longer service employees who reach their max range. That's not going to continue indefinitely. So we're going to start seeing payroll creeping up again. We've got a new position budgeted tentatively for next year, and the deputy director, which is not an inexpensive position. But I don't know, you know, we'll have to give that some consideration. Perhaps a number for that fund slightly higher might be in order. But it's something I'd like to have everybody think about, because it probably would make most sense to come back at the May meeting. The June meeting as opposed to the May meeting. The May meeting tends to be a relatively long meeting already because of the changeover in personnel.
Can you put some information together for the board members for the May meeting so at least they have some information to review for June?
Yes. I just want us to start thinking about it. Thank you.
Okay. I forgot where I am. Committee of the Whole meetings.
Trustee Olson requested that this be on the agenda as a discussion item.
One of the things that I think it's important, I see it happening with other public bodies, is they have, the city is a good example, but many libraries have as well formal committee of the whole meetings, often within their regular meetings, and they're basically the intent to have a open discussion of items that are up for consideration and being proposed, an opportunity for board members to learn and ask questions about something that they are going to be asked to act on. I think examples of when this would be a good use of time and a good way to approach them would be the educational sessions like we're having at the May meeting with our financial advisor who is going to come in and talk about investments. We aren't going to be looking to take any formal action we're going to be in a learning process so that we can better judge for the future what actions we may want to take, and better be informed of how we would go about those options. When we review the financial audit, before we approve it, we have a committee of the whole, specifically for an opportunity for dialogue, questions to be asked and answered, and an understanding between members of the board and on the topic. We've got, at some point coming up, a educational component of a meeting in which we're going to learn about EDI, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I, again, think that's more a useful function for a committee of the whole, because it's a learning opportunity, not a opportunity for, or not one that's going to involve action. We I think need to consider these sorts of things, because I think they allow us to have more free dialogue about a topic. You know, and perhaps the idea of makerspace would be a good topic, you know, to have open dialogue about technology changes or things that we'd like to see happen that aren't part of the formal action unless it's later on the regular agenda. So I'd like to have the board think about the fact that perhaps we could be more effective if we chose to go out of our regular meetings into a committee of the whole meetings to discuss this sort of thing. And then if there's something that needs to be acted on, we have had the opportunity to dialogue and have an exchange of ideas and facts and information. So that was what I wanted to talk about.
Thank you. Breakfast with the Village of Bartlett in Hanover Park recap.
The pictures looked nice on Facebook, I saw those. I wasn't able to attend, so what types of things did they cover?
Mayor Rodney Gregg from Hanover Park likes to talk.
He likes to talk.
So he talked about a lot of all the stuff that he does. And we're grateful for him because he does advocate for, you know, the fight against the railroad. And he's done some wonderful things in his village. And President Wallace also spoke about, you know, the advances that the Village of Bartlett's making. Any one-on-one with people from other organizations or that, you know, it's just most of everybody there is friends or knows everybody. So it's just, it was, you know, hard to get up that early in the morning, but it was a nice gathering.
It was a nice breakfast.
Yeah. No, it was a very good turnout, you know, and especially, you know, the chambers have combined.
Yeah.
So it's important to have both mayors there to tell us what's going on, and just an opportunity. Very good. Well attended.
Trustee Wilson?
I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman who sat at my table who lives in the community, who does I'm going to use exactly the wrong term because I'm not sure what the right term is, but does electronic marketing on behalf of businesses. And as I often ask people, I asked him if he uses the library, and he said, no. I said, well, you know, we have a lot of resources that might be applicable to you. And he says, well, I get everything I need online. And I said, well, you know, we have some really tremendous databases. And he was talking about researching newspapers and that sort of thing. I said, you really need to get a library card and start exploring what we have and what you can access that we're paying, we and you as a taxpayer are paying for, that you're just not aware of. And I, it was to me not eye-opening because I hear this way too often, but it, you know, this is somebody who is expressing I guess an unknown need for what we have because he doesn't understand or realize that we have this kind of resource. And I don't know how we reach that audience, but it's something that we need to try harder to do.
Under director's report. Yeah. I just wanted to mention under director's report for the foundation that we do have a couple events coming up. The first one is a Dine to Donate event. I believe it's June 13th at Pilot Pete's. So we're going to be getting the publicity out for that. Lynn DeSmith, who is in our audience today, is also partnering with the foundation and Arts in Bartlett to do the first ever author's fair. That is June 10th and 11th. And then the third event is an actual author program here at the library, which we're very excited about. The author's name is Renee Rosen, and she has written a book about Estee Lauder and kind of her history and life story, and that is on June 8th. So stay tuned for details and information on those programs. And then as part of the director's report, our youth services manager, Phyllis Sadowski, wanted to say a few minutes. So if you'd like to step up.
Good evening, everyone. I was not able to attend the March board meeting, but I did listen to the audio recording. And I'd like to take this opportunity to address a comment made after the summary of the strategic plan goals. The comment referred to the adult services department as the primary movers and shakers here at the library. A cursory look at the March board packet, which has the statistics for February, showed that the Youth Services Department excels at attracting patrons to our library through our programming. The actual statistics for that month were Youth Services number of programs 48, the Adult Services number of programs 16, Youth Services attendance for that month 1,829, Adult Services 156. A majority of the programs and youth services are homemade and not hired out, which means a lot of staff time spent working hard to make the programs engaging and fun. While the strategic plan does give staff goals and directions, it does not reflect the sum total of staff efforts on behalf of the library. The circulation staff are the front line to most patron interactions and work hard to accommodate our patrons. The technical services department works diligently to not only get materials processed in a timely fashion, but also cataloged in a way that makes the materials easily accessible. The maintenance department works hard to make sure our building is functioning and clean. And IT, of course, has endless work updating and protecting our computer systems. The best service to our patrons will occur when all staff members are working together and not competing against one another. We are not a large corporate-like library, but more of a small town library where everyone knows everyone and we all work well together. I can assure this board that every single member of my department is a mover and a shaker as are all the staff at the Bartlett Library. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, so anybody have any other questions regarding the information in the director's report before we move on? Okay, new business?
I have to make a comment. I want to thank Larry for the holiday lights. I happened to have the opportunity around Easter to drive by at nighttime, and it looked awesome with all the great spring colors. It added really something very nice to the building. Thank you.
And that Lego program. Great job.
Any other new business? I do have one. I did write up a little something before we move on to town hall. So I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to move on. Okay.
Good, boys.
So, well, it's been a journey, and a long one at times. When I was asked to serve on the board, I was the ripe old age of 31. I was fairly new to town, young, and I leaned on my fellow board members to teach me many things. I've learned a lot, have grown, and I'm thankful for every person I've worked with along the way, good and bad, as every lesson is a lesson learned. I've been lucky enough to serve with some pretty amazing people in my 12 years. A board is a team. They're supposed to work together for the good of the entity they are representing, to make that unit of government better. Serving on a board means you work as one towards having a positive impact on the residents that elected you. In times of bad, you band together and you work to fix it and come up with ideas on how to improve. It's not about you, it's about those around you. To those of you on staff that work tirelessly day in and day out to make this possible, I thank you. I have worked with most staff since I first started on the board, and that type of longevity in a workplace speaks volumes as to the place that they spend most of their time. I am proud to have been part of making such a wonderful place in our community thrive. Keep moving forward, keep making the library better for everyone, residents and staff alike. I've been in this town for over 15 years, and the library is still one of my favorite places, and it's because of you. We've come a long way, and I look forward to seeing more amazing things to come. Now to address my concerns. Every single person on this board is here on a voluntary basis and should be here because they want to make a positive difference in the community. If your input is negative, with no positive or helpful ideas and solutions, just publicly announcing at every meeting that you think the library should just close its doors, or if you're disrespectful and verbally abrasive to staff, contractors, and vendors, or if you take every chance possible to make other board members look bad while boasting about how wonderful you supposedly are, then in my opinion, you have no place being on a board or in any other public office. You can be a miserable human to yourself, but you have no right treating others the way that you do. I feel sorry for any other board in the future that may have to deal with you. I urge you to really ask yourself as a person what real benefit you are providing by behaving the way that you do and even serving on the board for that matter. It's become blatantly obvious with the negativity and pettiness towards others that you have zero interest in actually improving the library and are only out for your own selfish purposes in getting this place shut down. Try being a positive influence for once, as it goes a long way. To the board and staff, keep your head up. Keep working together to outweigh the detractors that are constantly present. Keep winning, keep succeeding, and keep the higher goal of the library in mind. It's been a pleasure, and thank you all for everything over these past 12 years. Please always remember that it's more than just about us. We are public servants, and we should always be looking to make our community better for future generations. So, thank you. Town hall.
You'll be missed. I can just stand here. Linda Smith, I don't know if the board can hear. So I just wanted to say, past few months I've been here, and I've kind of like stressed technology, and it's kind of like something I've heard the past few months in the community. People are just looking for a little bit more, like a gaming room, or, you know, like I mentioned, the laser printer, 3D printer, things like that. It's the first time I've heard the makerspace idea. I'm just kind of thinking of some objects to just kind of generate some more of the youth in and maybe even get more of the teens involved with it. So that's kind of where I'm at, whether you want to call it this or that, just, you know, concept. And congratulations, Heidi, and everybody. Thank you.
Any other talk home?
I will make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Trustee Barry. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Trustee Vicaro. Roll call.
Esaias?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Bucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Ganey?
Yes.
Hopkins?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Okay.
This meeting is adjourned at 8:23.